The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors. Keep on, keep on.
Good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Sean Sayre here with you this morning. It is 7:30 on Thursday, March 27th already, the end of the month. Can you believe it? It's supposed to be spring. It kind of feels cold out there this morning. You're going to feel kind of a chill as you get out this moring, but certainly that is kind of a fact of spring around here. To me, it doesn't really feel like spring till early May, but maybe I'm just a pessimist. But, you know, it's a little nicer than it was in January, but along with the spring comes pothole season, and that's what we're going to be talking about today with my guest Ricardo Morales. He's a commissioner of public services and utilities here in the city of Pittsfield, and we're talking about all those issues, plus the major road repairs this year, some big projects coming up under his department, and lots more. So stick around for that conversation. Looking forward to that. We'll get to that in just a moment. First, let's go to the weather forecast and find out what we have in store for us today.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly sunny. A slight chance of snow showers this morning. Highs in the mid-40s. Northwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Chance of snow 20%. Tonight, mostly clear in the evening, then mostly cloudy with the chance of snow showers after midnight. Cold with lows in the lower 30s. West wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Chance of snow 30%. Friday, mostly sunny. Highs around 50. West wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
See, that's spring here. That's what you're going to get. You got snow in the forecast. Snow, that's right, tonight into tomorrow. Crazy, crazy stuff. But actually, I walked out of work yesterday, and it was a little squall. Like, everything was dark and gray. And it was like, you know, 6 o'clock in the evening, and it was downright snowing outside. So you just can't predict it.
I was down in Lee last night. I don't know. It was 4. Or no, it was six, it was around 6:30, and all of a sudden I walk outside and these massive snowflakes falling on us, covering everything. It's like, okay, this is unexpected.
Right.
I'm texting my people, you know, my folks, my team. How's Pittsfield looking?
Right.
It's sunshine in Pittsfield. Okay,
yeah.
Good.
it was a mixture. By the time I got home, it was sunny. And the sunset was nice, but here at PCTV, it was dark and it was snowing. Very strange. Just one of those weird things that happens. But I can imagine in your world, when you see the snowflakes, that's cause for concern, at least a little bit, making sure nothing's building up.
It happens.
Snow happens. Ricardo Morales is my guest if you're just joining us on the show. He is the Commissioner of Public Services and Utilities here in the city of Pittsfield. And we're talking about, lots of projects going on, actually. You, as usual, your plate is full. These are all things that the folks in Pittsfield are, you know, they're very much in touch with, always concerned with things that are happening right outside their door and underneath their wheel of their car. And so in this particular season, it's potholes, right? That's what we're talking about in the springtime.
There's a lot of talk about potholes, but good morning, Sean. Thanks for having me here.
Perfect time. That is it. That is at least our first topic, and won't be our only topic today. But every year I hear it. This has got to be the worst pothole season ever.
Yeah.
Have you heard that every year you've been here?
We do hear it. It's a recurring theme, right? However, I think this year I'm the one saying it.
Okay.
We have not seen in recent years.
Yeah.
We have not seen potholes as bad as the ones we are you know, dealing with this time around. I recall driving after the February 16 through the 18th, you know, 48, 52, 56 hour snow event we had there, with freezing conditions, a lot of water.
Yeah,
that's a recipe for disaster. You get the water inside the, you know, sub base and it freezes, and then you have some thawing effect. There's some voids created. Then you have some vehicles driving over these voids when it thaws. That's the birth of a pothole, essentially. And
it came late in the season also, right?
And that freezing action on these spaces where water got in, you could tell where potholes would form when you were driving before the thaw, because you would see bumps in the road where you would not see them before.
Interesting. Yeah.
And I noticed that, and we were talking amongst ourselves. We were saying, like, this is going to be bad. Once the thaw comes, we're going to see a lot of potholes, more than in other years, because we're noticing these bumps where, you know, out of nowhere.
Yep. And that was an odd storm, too. And, you know, we did have, it seems like, a colder winter. I think everybody opening their electric bills this year realized it was a colder winter than usual. Maybe not than usual, but at least one of the coldest in the last several years, where we kind of got used to some milder winters. Didn't have any real huge storms, but that particular storm. And then you also had sort of a long-lasting freeze after that, right? There were several days where everything was just really, really cold.
Locked into place, and that's where that water that got trapped started expanding.
Mm-hmm.
What happens with water when it freezes, it expands.
Yeah.
So,
and that particular storm too, I know I was out with my shovels and my rakes trying to free up our storm drains, because right in front of our house we had, you know, a pond. And why was that? Because, you know, there's probably a level of leaves and debris that were locked in there at the beginning of the winter, plus several ice storms, right, that happened and sort of built up on top of the storm drain. And then all this rain comes and it's got nowhere to go. So we're out there, you know, picking at it and trying to free the thing up. It was just absolutely crazy. But that's when we realized how much ice was actually already down by the time this storm got there.
Right. And so now we're dealing with, you know, potholes. We're dealing with immediately after that, when we started seeing the potholes come into place, we can only do one thing: cook our own asphalt.
Mm.
There's no plants open, so we're cooking from recycled millings.
Huh.
We're using our equipment to melt everything together with additives, and we have a hot mix of our own.
Mm-hmm.
We have to carry it in hot boxes, protecting it from colder temperatures. So we have two of those.
Mm.
So that limits our ability to get to places.
Are those expensive items?
Those are expensive. We have the hot boxes. Mm-hmm. We've made some investments over the years. We have replaced our Bagella. We call it's the brand.
Mm-hmm.
It's the asphalt recycler.
It's this thing that you're putting old asphalt into and adding some things to it and turning it into patch, essentially, right?
Turn it into hot mix.
It's not
the best material by any means.
It's not
formulated to be the best material.
Yeah.
It's our own mix of getting something to survive before the plants open, where we can buy the good material, let's call it.
Yeah. And just to let people know, why do the plants shut down for the winter?
Well, it's just operational and cost, and making sure that they, you know, how they produce asphalt is highly weather dependent.
Yeah.
So especially with cold temperatures. So you can't have a good mix if it's too cold.
Okay. So it is temperature dependent. So every year, it isn't like a particular day that the big asphalt plant that we have here in the city of Pittsfield, which I assume also serves other parts of the county, not just Pittsfield.
Right.
That's when that opens. So do we have an idea when that might be this year?
Yeah, we have three. I'm gonna say two local ones: Lenox in the Lenoxdale area and Pittsfield. Those are, let's call it, the local ones. Those are not opening until, the last we heard, mid-April.
Mm.
If weather cooperates, they might open sooner.
Mm.
So we're keeping tabs on that.
But it isn't about demand. It's really about
their operations,
how they work,
and weather, mm-hmm. yes, mm-hmm. weather related. And then the next one that we use that we're currently using is West Sand Lake. Oh. It's a little further away. Mm-hmm. You know, by car you can get there a little, quicker than with our trucks mm-hmm. and equipment. So they opened on March 20th.
Okay.
So they just opened basically.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been now getting some stuff from that location.
How long can the asphalt stay hot when you're driving from West Sand Lake over to Pittsfield?
So it all depend mm-hmm. on the temperature, mm-hmm. the atmospheric temperature. So if we are getting material from West Sand Lake and it's too cold outside, we're still going to be needing those two hot boxes to carry mm-hmm. it to the final destination, right?
Okay.
The final location. So that's also limiting our ability to do work during the day. So it doesn't matter how many guys we have mm-hmm. available, we only have two hot boxes mm-hmm. if it's too cold.
Right.
So that's another factor.
And what about weather? This time of the year in spring, it's very kind of unpredictable, and you get some wet weather and some snow, as we saw yesterday. You have to have a nice day, right, to get a somewhat nice day to get out and fill some of these potholes.
Yeah, let me say it this way, right? We can't be working on wet conditions, mm-hmm. actively raining. With colder, too cold temperature, mm-hmm. it's not going to be good mm-hmm. once you place it.
And that's just because the patch won't hold, essentially.
Right. And you know, you're trying to get water away, and you still might have the potential of some freezing action. So it's not going to have that bond. And I was surprised the other day we were working. We had a plate over on Newell Street front of Eastside Cafe.
Right. I just had a counselor from Ward 3 on the show, I think last week, Matt Rinn, and he was talking about that.
Well, yeah, we were trying to repair that with our own, recycled asphalt for a few days, and it kept popping up. There was too much water, and the water was not stopping. You know, it's constantly getting wet.
Yeah.
So we decided to put a plate, let it dry. Thursday, I believe, last week, it was still raining. I think it was Thursday. It rained at night, or maybe it was this Monday. I can't remember. the day we fixed it, it was recent, and it was the afternoon it rained, but the guys were able to get that special like sunny morning and do the work, and now we have a better patch there.
Yeah. So you certainly, we see them on those days, the bright sunny days where they're out taking care of this stuff. And, I would imagine you probably are looking to get the more heavily traveled lanes done first and then work into the residential streets and the shorter, smaller streets.
Yeah, that's the goal, is to get where people are driving the most, heavy traffic areas. We also have to balance the future work we're doing, and maybe we'll talk about that a little soon in the show. But we're hitting the tire busters, let's call it. we're getting those repaired as fast as we can. We are identifying them on our end so that we can, go in and repair them. I know people are reporting them in Acela as well, in PitSmart.
Mm-hmm.
Acela is how we call it. It's the name of the system, but to the public, it's PitSmart.
Mm-hmm. And let's promote that for a bit, because that is a really good way for people. If you have a pothole outside of your house or a place that you drive on a regular basis and you're just, I can't believe they haven't fixed that yet. Well, maybe nobody's reported it yet. I mean, yes, it's probably obvious to a lot of people, but, if it's not in the system, it may not get the care that it needs. So how do people do that?
Yeah, you can go online or download the app, PittSmart, online to the city of Pittsfield and report an issue. It's important to locate, don't be as specific as you can so that we can identify it. And, just listing the whole street has potholes is okay, I guess. We know it, but if you're not specific, it's going to be less obvious for us.
So you could say in the vicinity of Four Federico Drive.
You can definitely
example.
Put a specific drop pin on the map.
Okay.
It comes with a map, so that's very helpful. We know Of the bad ones, we know that Lyman Street is in bad shape. Mm. There's a reason for that not being immediately done. There's utility work happening there by Berkshire Gas. Mm. So we try to fix a little bit and not waste taxpayers' money too much. You know, we have to balance that as well.
So in other words, you don't want to be going and fixing something that's going to get a complete redo in a couple of months. You want to make it safe.
Right. Make it passable, and wait for the utility work to occur. In this case, with Lyman Street, you know, Berkshire Gas is had some delays. The road should have been paved already, surviving this winter, but it wasn't. It was delayed due to unforeseen conditions on their end, and they're going to take care of the road repavement actually. So,
And there was a lot of gas work in that area last year. I think even the year before that, right down in near the Auto Mile there on East Street and up into Fenn Street, right, Whipple Street, and that whole area. So that must be that larger project.
Yeah. So we're spilling into the road work conversation, and it has to do with that, right? Yeah. It has to. In Lyman Street, we have some plans with, like I mentioned, Berkshire Gas is working there, and then we have East Street that's under contract right now. It's a state project, state run project, both on the design and the execution of the work. That is going to take shape in some utility work at the beginning and remediation. So that's the first thing you'll see. You can see people working there already, but that is not, you're not going to have, we're not going to see a newly paved, you know, road until, you know, next year. Right now, one thing we're asking the state is to see how we can, you know, survive another year and get some, you know, better surface there in that stretch.
Similar to what they did. That's the stretch, between Lyman Street and Merrill Road?
Yeah, so they actually repaved parts of it.
Right.
They spilled over from Merrill Road into East Street. So we're in discussions with the state so that we can have that future, you know, next section, maybe just the driving lanes, so that it can survive another, you know, there's a contract. It's just the way the project works.
Yeah.
A new surface won't be in place until next year.
Well, it is fun to see when the surveyors are out and you start to see the paint marks on the street and you say, okay, something's about to happen here, right? That's always a fun time. We've got Ricardo Morales on the program this morning. He is the Commissioner of Public Services and Utilities here in the city of Pittsfield. And let's go back to the pothole issue for again. And tell me, other than the ones where you know you've got some big projects coming up, and we're going to talk about those in a later part of the show. What were some of the worst streets that you saw this year that suffered from pothole mania 2025?
I'm going to start with, you know, Elm Street was, we don't have a future project or immediate project there, but we had along the seam in, you know, between passes on the asphalt paving back when it was paved, I don't know, 2013, I think. Along that seam, it's been opening up, and so we need to get some, you know, love and care to that area in the near future. We've patched it as best as we can, but we need to do some more work there. And we have had some areas. Most of the areas that we are seeing the really bad ones, we are repaving those streets this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's hopeful.
The only one that I can just recall saying, like, that's not happening this year is Elm Street. And matching the really bad with the resurfacing.
Yeah. And so that's always an issue. It's a continuing saga, but it will be addressed as you move along and forward. Let's look at some of those big projects that are upcoming this year. So we touched on East Street, and that's a longer term story, it sounds like, where we will have maybe some help with that, but not a finished product until a couple of years from now. Is that what they're looking for?
Well,
at least starting it next year.
The actual resurfacing will start likely next year. I don't see any reason for them to, you know, I don't see them pulling the schedule in. It'll all depend if something miraculous happens with the conditions of the road. So don't expect anything this year in terms of a new surface final product type.
But the scope of that project is all the way from the junction of Merrill Road where the overpass is, right, all the way up to just past Lyman Street or to Fenn Street?
Up to Lyman.
Up to Lyman. Okay. Yeah. So the intersection of Fenn and East Street isn't going to be figuring into this project?
So Elm, Fenn and East, Elm and East, those two intersections are part of our project. We're designing that at the moment.
Okay.
We have another request into the city council soon for this next to take the design to final completion to 100% design, basically.
Yeah. But there's a demarcation there between what's a city project and what's a state-city project?
All of it is the city's right-of-way. Mm-hmm. So we're very lucky to have good relationship with the state that they are conducting these types of projects on their own dime. We're also lucky that the next phase, the city's designed phase, we have from Lyman to little past Elm Street.
Mm-hmm.
That is... The design is carried by the city, but the actual construction, which is right now estimated around $8 million, is carried by state and federal funds allocated into the transportation improvement plan. Mm.
So what kind of changes do you think people would expect when that project moves forward? What would it look like, or how would it feel different for drivers, for bikers, for pedestrians?
So we're looking at, first of all, continuing the design implementation, carrying it through the work that's happening now with the state's project, we're matching that into our project.
Okay.
But at the same time, we recognize that the intersection at Fenn and East is very critical. It's a dangerous intersection. It's one of the top, crash clusters. In the county.
Hmm.
And so we're looking at that very closely and have already looked at the potential to have a roundabout there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first thing you'll notice. It's very different than what we have there.
And that makes so much sense to me anyway. And I know there are people that have differing opinions on roundabouts, but that's the one intersection where if you're coming down Fenn Street and heading toward East Street, you could just basically forget it, right?
Yeah.
You're not getting out into traffic unless it's 2 in the morning.
That's right. So this idea that we need to slow people down when they're in the center of town, right? It's very important to me. It's where most people walk and do things, mm-hmm. where people are. Activity, people-centered activity is at, as opposed to vehicles moving in and out through town. Mm. So once you hit a roundabout, it sends that message of reset. Like we're at a faster commute type. You hit the roundabout, you're in a different setting. Mm-hmm. So from that roundabout on, we're trying to change how the built environment works. Mm. And it's not only it's going to be, we have slower speeds by design all throughout. But from that roundabout on, the character of the street, East Street, is a little different than the rest of East Street in that section I'm talking. So it's more residential. You have some houses there. You still have some businesses, but there are houses, as opposed to from the roundabout east, it's just car dealerships and commercial buildings.
Right. And so, actually, there's still a lot of pedestrian traffic in that area,
there is
too,
still.
Right?
Yeah. So we're not forgetting that.
Yeah.
It's just that we're going to have a little bit of a character change in the design from the roundabout west.
Well, and I think for drivers also, the thing I really like about the Tyler Street roundabout that got so much attention as it was being put in and as the changes were becoming apparent, is that you can actually move through that intersection. Now, just try and remember what that was like when you got to the end of, Tyler Street, that little extension of Tyler Street or Woodlawn Ave.
Right.
And then you had to move your way into this no man's land of
stop signs,
islands and stop signs and things, and look back this way to hope that you are not going to, you know, cause an accident coming forward. Right. And that's really all been solved. We don't even think about that anymore at that
Correct.
Intersection. So I would love to see that happens personally at the Fenn Street, East Street intersection, because I really feel bad for people when I see them trying to come out onto East Street. I'm like, you're never getting out. You're just never getting out.
We had this idea for this project to have the intersection of Elm and East also have a roundabout.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, say what you may, I'm not just blindly about roundabouts.
Well, and it would be tough to have two right in quick succession,
that is,
right?
That is okay, I think, if it wasn't for the fact that at that intersection, we can only have, based on volume, we can only have a two-lane roundabout. And that, I don't think we're ready for.
Yeah.
and it also takes a lot more space. Mm-hmm. It's more costly. Mm-hmm. So the pros and cons, and just installing an intersection with signals, better signaling equipment for both vehicles and pedestrians and cyclists it accomplishes the same things or even better than a roundabout.
So let's move on to a couple of the other projects, and we've got about 5 minutes before our break. South Street, kind of another war zone of a road there, but that's going to get some love this year, right?
Yes. Starting in the spring, the state has granted the city this, the work under the municipal paving program from DOT. The paving of this program carries paving of numbered routes. Mm-hmm. And we submitted last year for Route 7.
Mm-hmm.
We divided it into three priorities. Mm-hmm. We said we would love to get all three, but if you have to only assign, paving of one, we would like for South Street to be that one.
Mm-hmm.
Lucky for us, they said, we'll pave all three sections.
Wow.
So that means they're paving this year South Street, North Street from the hospital to the town line.
That's a long one.
And First Street from East to the hospital.
Wow.
So
those are three really big sections of Route 7,
yes,
for sure.
So we've been working closely with the state about the design implementations that we're adding while this is happening, and talking about schedule. So the way it's going to happen.
Will they all happen at the same time, or are they going to happen in sections?
They'll happen in series, and it's going to be, South Street first, then North Street, and then they'll jump back to First Street later in the year.
Mm. First Street out of those three is the one that seems to be in the better condition than the other two, but definitely North Street, just north of BMC, is in really pretty rough shape. It's really nice to hear that it's going all the way to the Lanesboro line,
yes,
too.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're very excited about that, and it's been really phenomenal to work with the state in this capacity, because it's a newish program, a few years in the making, and we're taking advantage of it.
That's
very
great.
Good. It's probably going to be, in the several million dollars for them,
yeah,
and we're lucky to have partnership with them.
And it seems like, maybe I'm just getting old, but it doesn't seem like it was very long ago that South Street was completely reconstructed and redone, but it's probably been 15 or 20 years, right?
Yeah, thereabout.
And that's, I'm guessing, long in the tooth for
yes.
a road like South Street that takes all that traffic?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And what about just the general age of the Pittsfield streets? And we could go do a whole show on that, I'm sure. But does that affect how quickly they deteriorate in terms of a pothole season like we had this year? If they've been around a little while without a complete reconstruction, does that sort of give you an idea that you're going to have more trouble with that road?
With time, especially with streets that were not built to similar standards than what we have now, with time, we're going to be seeing more sub-base damages and issues that come up. So that's going to be a challenge for forever, I think. We have a $50 million backlog of road repairs that we need to complete.
And there were some times in the early 2000s, especially, where very few road projects were done, right? I mean, I think that was part and parcel of it's like a catch-up game in some ways.
Yes.
Where, if you don't do a certain number of roads every single year to keep ahead of it, eventually you will have that backlog.
Not just resurfacing, but also preventative maintenance.
Mm.
We have to jump on that as well. We've been trying to get better at that for the last few years. last year we did a lot of, you know, crack sealing, and we introduced fog seal. We're going to attempt doing fog seal again this year with some other areas. That's just prolonging the life of these streets. It's all about preventing that water to get in and damage the subbase.
Yeah, I noticed that on Hubbard Ave last year. He did some fog sealing there. That was an interesting process. So the idea there is just hold it together, right? A little longer so you don't get the cracks, so you don't get the water in.
It's preventing. Even if there's cracks, there's going to be cracks. So it's creating this membrane so that water can't get to the crack.
But then eventually, so that's kind of like, you know, holding it off a little bit. But there's probably some roads that are better candidates for that than others, right?
Definitely.
Some roads that are still in pretty decent shape, but maybe not brand new, but not really old where it needs to be reconstructed.
Right. Yeah. That's the way it is.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm sure we have some of those that you'll be targeting for this year. Any ideas which ones those might be?
Right now, we're not done with that list.
Yeah. Always the list.
Yep.
Ricardo Morales is my guest here this morning, and we've reached that top of the hour where we take our little break. And we will do that right now and come back for more road talk. We've got a couple more projects happening, and then a big open house coming up to talk about a redesign of North Street. And I know that's on a lot of people's minds, has been for years. And so here it comes again. We're going to talk about that and all the things that come along with that in just a moment. So this is Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. We'll return with Morning Drive right after this.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
You're tuned to Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield and 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sondrini.com.
Underwriters are so important for keeping this station alive. Hi, this is Sean Sayre, Executive Director of PCTV. I'd like to thank our local businesses for supporting Pittsfield Community Radio and for believing in the mission of the station. When you hear underwriting messages on the air, you know those companies support WTBR-FM. If you're listening now and your business would like to join in and support us, call me today at 445-4234 and get involved. Or visit us at WTBRFM.com. It will make all the difference.
The BRTA offers training to any person or group new to using the bus system or the process. We have a certified travel trainer that will make the process easier. Our travel trainer will ride the bus with you until you are more comfortable with how everything works. They can teach you about fares, how to read the schedules, how to get on or off the bus, and pedestrian safety. If you are interested in this service, please email traveltraining@berkshirerta.com.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Welcome to the M&M Show. I'm Michelle.
And I'm Mike.
Listen to us every Tuesday from 10 to 12 for eclectic variety of 70s to today of every genre on WTBR 89.7 Pittsfield Community Radio.
Radio like it used to be.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, welcome back to Morning Drive here, 89.7 WTBR FM, also 88.1 WSBR in Lee. Welcome to all of our listeners here today. Talking with Ricardo Morales, he's the Commissioner of Public Services and Utilities, and we are talking about mostly road work today. We've got a couple other things to talk about here near the end of the show, but first, let's go to our weather forecast and see what we have in store for us today from the National Weather Service.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly sunny. A slight chance of snow showers this morning. Highs in the mid-40s. Northwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Chance of snow 20%. Tonight, mostly clear in the evening, then mostly cloudy with a chance of snow showers after midnight. Cold with lows in the lower 30s. West wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Chance of snow 30%. Friday, mostly sunny. Highs around 50. West wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Well, and you know, the nice thing about hearing the snow in the forecast like we do overnight, it's not going to stick. We're not talking about, you know, inches of snow that are going to stay on the ground for a month or two. That's the one nice thing about getting to the late part of March is that we don't care about the snow anymore.
Yeah.
You know, unless you're a skier and you still, you know, I think Bosque closed this week, right? That was their last day. I think Jiminy is still running. But yeah, if you're a skier, you kind of lament the departure of the snow. But for everyone else, we're on to spring, just like Bill Belichick would say. We're on to spring.
Yeah.
Ricardo, thanks for being here this morning and talking with us about all these big projects happening in the city of Pittsfield and the roads that we drive on and walk on and ride our bikes on all the time. So moving on to – it's on to West Street.
Yeah.
It's on to West Street.
So keeping on the, you know, road work, we have a full design for West Street. We have that slated for, you know, going out to bid in the next – within the next month and a half. Mm. And the goal is to get that work going, you know, immediately. Yeah. So
remind our listeners what that's going to entail, what parts of West Street and why.
So West Street, this is going to be between the College Way, Government Drive intersection into West Street.
Mm-hmm. The intersection of West Street and West Street.
Then right after that is the West and West intersection, we call it. And then those series of few intersections is a bridge. There's a few, you know, driveway, very... high traffic driveways for Eversource, for the different housing complexes, the church, and then you have, you know, we end roughly around Bachman Street, and then we also have right kind of around the corner, continuing on west, we have Valentine Road. We have a major water line replacement finishing up.
Okay.
This year. And after that is done, we're going to be resurfacing that last section of Valentine Road.
That'll make a lot of people happy. Yeah. I've heard a lot of things where, and it's been a while, right, on that because there's been so much underground work going on.
Yeah. It's tough because it's multi-seasonal and it's multi-utility, and it's very complicated in the sense of it's a lot of deep work, trenches. It's not just replacing something that's 5 foot deep, 5 feet deep.
And that's a road that has underground electric and utilities, right?
Which is so that's what Eversource was doing a year ago. We were waiting, you know, last year they still worked on it a little bit. And now it's our turn to do the water line in that section. And right after we're done with that, we're going to resurface it. It's part of the project. Mm-hmm. We're resurfacing that, you know, width, the full width of the road all the way from West Street to right around, you know, the school, Taconic High. So back to West Street, where the project is going to be done, we're including some raised crosswalks. We're including some improvements to the sidewalks, narrowing some travel lanes. Mm-hmm. We need people to drive slow in that area. Mm-hmm. We have to remember this is, you know, the site right by the park door, where Shalom Millard, with her daughter, she passed away after being struck by a vehicle.
Yep.
And you know, her daughter survived, but now, you know, we have rallied with, you know, the community in that area. We have done extensive community outreach. We have met with key stakeholders in that area, with the housing, with the church. We have held multiple community meetings for including, you know, what we want to see, what, you know, pros and cons, what you would like to see. Mm-hmm. So this is the culmination, and this year we're going to continue with that work.
So there were some design elements that were considered and not chosen. I know thought about a roundabout, but wasn't really going to be practical in that area. Thought about traffic signalization for a while. That was not going to happen, and now it is going to happen, right?
Right, so. Exactly. So we you know, with Mayor Marchetti coming in, it revived the idea to include that signalization on West and West. So that also puts some delay on the project because we now have to include that in the design, and it's not a simple task. And we also have to go back to the public and talk with them about that signalization and the expectations. And now we're basically fully designed, and we're ready to bid the work.
And so bidding the work now means that the work will probably start sometime in this construction year?
Yes. Yes, that that will be for this.
But maybe not completed by the time snow falls again in, you know, in November.
It's likely it's going to go over, but there's going to be a lot of work done by the end of this construction season. And we're really looking at, you know, rounding up this conversation about road work. We're looking at South Street, East Street, West Street, First Street,
I sense a
North
theme.
Street. Right. Where it's the Cardinal Point year.
Right.
we're doing a lot of work in the main thoroughfares into the city, in and out of the city. So it's gonna be impactful. But I think I'd rather take, you know, complaints, let's call it quote unquote complaints from the public about too much work happening than the opposite.
I guess the beauty of that is there's always something to complain about.
Yeah.
You either complain that there's too much work going on, or you complain that not enough's getting done. So it kind of completes the cycle, if you will. But things will be getting done, and people will see that this year for sure.
Right.
And then the overall goal of the West Street interchange is driver and pedestrian safety, I would imagine. Some bike stuff going to be figured into that as well.
Yeah, like, you know, we have not only have a bicycle facilities master plan that we have to follow. We also have a policy, internal policy that was adopted in 2017, where we have to build everything with the mindset of having the road work be complete for everyone, right? It's the complete streets policy. And with that, it comes this notion of, we have to design for the most vulnerable road user. So we have to include in our approach to our road work, whenever possible, the thought about designing our streets to protect people that are the most vulnerable. So that's whether you're, you know, pushing a stroller, walking, riding a bike, a scooter, or on your vehicle. That's, you know, we have to include everyone that's using the road.
Well, and I think drivers appreciate the predictability of it, too. I mean, certainly drivers don't want to be putting pedestrians in danger. And so, you know, knowing sort of the way that pedestrians and bicyclists use the road, and knowing when you get to an area what that looks like, and what, you know, what dangers present as you're driving down the road, to say, okay, I can clearly see someone here. They want to access a crosswalk, or, you know, they're walking their dog, and what are they going to do next? I mean, you need to be able to know those things, and obviously also to approach those things at the proper speed, so you're not putting those people into danger.
Right. We have to make, you know, remember that, I said it before, we're dealing with whenever in Pittsfield, we're dealing with two types of street environments, right? We're dealing with slow people, you know, where things happen, people-centric environments. There's commerce, there's housing, there's schools, there's, you know, places to the play, right? Work, live, play, educate.
Yep.
That's the urban setting. We need to take into account that those are areas where people are moving around. It's highly active. There's lots of conflict points. Mm. We have to slow speeds in those areas. Mm-hmm. And then we have the roads that connect A to B, where you have, you know, Merrill Road. There's some activity happening there as well, but mm-hmm. you have, you know, outer the North Street. Mm-hmm. There's some housing there too, but yep. it's more dedicated for people to get to, you know, from point A to point B,
yeah.
the safest and the fastest.
Yeah, efficiently.
Efficiently.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. And so I guess that leads us into the big project that the Public Works Department and the City of Pittsfield is embarking on now, which is to start getting some input on a redesign of North Street. And, of course, that was a few years ago the topic everybody had on the tip of their tongue, right? They're talking yep. about the bike lanes on North Street and the changes to North Street. Those were initial sort of planning ventures, right?
So I just opened.
Now we're getting serious.
Well, here's where I'm going to start that conversation. I opened my Facebook account the 2 days ago, mm-hmm. and I saw this. You know how it posts like so many years ago, and some pictures that were yes. that you posted.
Yeah, the memories, Facebook memories.
Right. Yeah. So it was about the pick up and drop off zones that we created during the pandemic in 2020. It was 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. Pick up and drop off zone. We moved very quickly, right after businesses started closing, or you know there was it was like this focus on what happens at the curb because mm-hmm. now you have people going in and out quickly and they're still parking.
Yeah,
we have to deal with that. Mm-hmm. But what about the quick pick up? You know, stop, pick up, leave.
Yep. Which was much more popular during the pandemic, obviously, right. but not something that went away.
That I'm saying that because in our downtown, it sparked this whole discussion around what serves our downtown the best, and there's a lot of things that happen in our downtown, especially on North Street mm-hmm. and its side streets, and we cannot just think about one thing and let the other ones, you know, slip away. Mm-hmm. So with that, I said the pickup and drop off zones 5 years ago because right after that is when we started looking at the curb as, you know, what's going to be this the future of the uses of the curb, mm. right? It's not just for parking.
Mm-hmm.
There's the sidewalks are going to be needed. We need outdoor space for many places that are suffering right now at that point, right? But still Absolutely. Are looking to have spaces to be useful for their business or for their use.
Right.
So after that, we started also looking at the, you know, it's not just about what happens at the sidewalk and at the curb. It's the environment and how safe you feel.
Mm-hmm.
And North Street, as we all remember, was two lanes in each direction
right.
with some turn lanes here and there. And that's the first thing that we decided is there's no way we're going to be able to slow speeds in this area if we continue using two lanes.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing that we did. We eliminated we dropped down to one lane in each direction. Mm-hmm. And
people were using that other lane really as a passing lane and to yeah. step on the gas and get past someone who they think is going too slow on North Street.
Right.
That's just a recipe for disaster, right?
Right. Especially when you have some maybe unexpected crossings
yeah.
from, you know, pedestrians.
Or you don't see them around a bus someone or stops, a big truck or yes, something.
Mm-hmm. Someone stops to let the pedestrian go through. The driver behind thinks they're too slow.
Yep.
They start passing on the left, and that's a recipe for disaster.
Yep.
So we quickly, with some help from the state, with actually fully funded by the state and some partners, we modified how North Street looked. That was done very quickly without little input from the public,
mm-hmm.
and that was a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
We quickly that winter, I recall, we went back to the drawing board. We took a lot of more input from the public, from the businesses, and incorporated most of what they were looking for that could be possibly incorporated. And one thing was clear: they wanted uniformity.
Hmm. Makes sense.
They wanted to, you know, to have a similar treatment across the entire corridor.
Sure.
They wanted they did not want that, you know, parking to be protecting the bike lane and then the sidewalk. That was weird. So that's something that we changed back then. And so we created that, but they all agreed. One thing that has always been agreed on is dropping down one lane is better. It's safer. They feel like it's just better. With what we're doing now, we're taking into account what we did between in the last 5 years, between 2020 and last year, and we made studies. We analyzed that pilot installation. Believe it or not, it's a pilot program. It allows us with very, let's say cheaply and paid by the state, it allowed us to see what works, what doesn't. And we performed a study, a drop in 70% of crashes on North Street at a time nationally where crashes were going up. At a time where Pittsfield crashes were going up. North Street crashes were going down. Volume, traffic volume was not affected. So
number of people basically using the road.
We saw a drop in volume overall because of the pandemic. But it quickly bounced back to pre-pandemic levels by 2022.
And now there's a new effort to take some of those lessons that were learned, right? And those were the positive things. Were there some still negative things about the current design that you want to improve?
So another positive was, in terms of access for emergency vehicles, the current design, the pilot design, is very good for emergency vehicles, and they're very appreciative, and they are willing to, at any point remind you of that. Another thing on the negative side is what happens at the intersection. It's very the focus on the intersection was not and for a reason. It's more expensive to deal with intersections. So
you can't just paint a line and say, okay, this is different now.
So we tried a little bit with some flexible posts. It didn't work. And what happens is, it's a little confusing. It's still safer than what was there before. Let me be clear about that. But it's still confusing, and that's something we cannot lose in this round. So with all of that knowledge in place, with already a technical advisory committee having been formed and met already a few weeks ago, that included bus operations, school and BRTA, folks from BRPC, folks from police, fire, EMS, and then the design team and the city. We conducted that, and now we're going to hold a public open house on April 9th.
Okay.
Between 4 and 7 a.m.
So that's a Wednesday?
It's a Wednesday evening.
The night at 7. Give us the time again.
4 to 7.
4 to 7 p.m. Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said a.m. Yeah.
I don't think you're going to get too many people at the 4 a.m. slot. But
So from 4 to 7 p.m. on the 9th, April 9th, we're going to have the open house. It's meant to be interactive. It's meant to be passing. You're not going to be sitting in a chair listening to me talk or anyone else. I might be talking in the microphone, showing something here and there, but it's meant to be you go in, you make your opinion. There's going to be voting booths for, what options you want to see.
Interesting.
There's going to be some interactive activities where you can design your own cross-section, stuff like that.
And where is this going to be held?
It's going to be at 74 North Street. This is in front of the Hot Plate area, the Onoda building, that empty storefront.
Okay. So it'll be inside?
It'll be inside of that space, very accessible. And we're excited about this. This is not something we have done in the past, this sort of open house style. And following the open house, the next day we're holding stakeholder meetings in that same space based on the information from the public at large. These stakeholders meetings are going to be aimed at, property owners, business owners, and residents of the area. So that way we are covering the technical side, we're covering emergency services, we're covering the public, we're covering stakeholders, and we're going to use all the information we have covered in the last 5 years to inform our next design. Hmm.
So nothing has been decided about the final design of anything that's going to be built yet. This is still in the works, but what are the main parts of what you hope to see changed on North Street?
There are key elements that need to be maintained, and I hinted at that. Hmm. One of them is the number of lanes.
Yep.
We have found out, and with a lot of agreement, that one lane in each direction is what works best. Mm-hmm. We have found out that we need to maintain safe and ease of access for emergency vehicles. Yep. We have found out that the bike lane numbers have gone up. Mm-hmm. You know, activity in bicycle activity has gone up. So mm-hmm. we need to maintain some level of access for people on bicycle.
Yeah.
And we found out that we need to take very seriously the, you know, angle parking versus parallel parking.
Interesting.
So that's something we're going to be looking at.
Okay. I didn't know if that was still on the table or not.
Yeah. We have a report that says it doesn't work, but the constraints we identified, if they're removed, mm-hmm. then it could work. Mm-hmm. So all of those things are possible.
Interesting. And I think you had mentioned work on intersections. Is that going to be a focus?
Right. Yeah. That's something we did not do, mm-hmm. and we need to focus on that now.
And again, the scope of this starts around Park Square and ends how far down North Street?
Wakona.
To Wakona Street. So that entire strip. Everything will be uniform at some point, you know, whatever design is worked out and chosen. When do you expect this sort of input process to take place, and when do you expect that to wrap and then move on to the final design?
This year, we're starting the input process this year. We're going to continue with public. After this goes on, mm-hmm. then we'll go into public meeting mm-hmm. sessions.
And I'm sure PCTV will cover some of those, so people will get a chance to watch that.
And the goal will be to see some implementation starting next year.
Okay. Yeah, so it's not going to be a shotgun wedding, as they say. It's not going to happen overnight. This is going to be a process that will take some time, but it sounds like a lot of public input will be possible. And you only have yourselves to blame, folks, if you're not involved with the process, right?
Right. Again,
get those ideas in there.
April 9th, open house, 4 to 7 p.m.
P.M. And the location, again, is the bottom of the Anoda building. Near, where, if you know where Hot Plate Brewing is, it's right around the corner from
School Street, the intersection of School and North.
All right. So now you know. Get there on April 9th, 4 to 7 p.m. to put your votes in, if you will. Get that information into the folks that are doing this design work. Ricardo Morales is my guest here this morning. Only a couple minutes left. This went by so fast, as it always does. Always a lot to talk about. Last little bit about trash and recycling. Any big updates there for us? How are things going?
We're seeing really good numbers. We have seen the trash numbers drop dramatically.
That's good news.
Yes. It's exciting. Our targets for average household trash output are projected to be around 1,400 to 1,500 pounds per household in a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's very good, I must say.
What was it before implementation of this?
North of 1,800 pounds per household.
Big difference.
Yeah, so it's very good. Recycling has hit better numbers than it has ever. Mm-hmm. So it's at its highest, and it continues. Last numbers we had were about 20% recycling rate.
And we started out where?
10.
So yeah.
So we've doubled our recycling rate. Mm. That's a combination of dropping trash, increasing recycling,
mm-hmm.
and you know we're saving money.
Yeah, I was going to say that's good news for the city budget too. Right?
We're saving money.
Yep. So a few wrinkles that came up, a little thing with Casella missing some streets or maybe not picking some stuff up, especially around the snowstorms, things like that.
Yeah.
These things getting ironed out.
Yeah, we there have been bumps on the road . There have been some potholes on the road.
We'll go back to that conversation. Yeah.
We have worked out with Casella some things. They have, it's a learning curve for them, for the local group here. Mm-hmm. They have this in other places.
Yeah.
Casella operates, but this group here is you know, it's a new system for them.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate the patience the community has shown for this.
Yeah.
And
big change.
and we're moving forward with better system.
Yeah, sometimes big changes are hard to swallow, but you do eventually get used to it and you get into the rhythm, and that's how it works. Ricardo Morales, thanks again for being here this morning. Always a fascinating conversation.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. And everybody, hope you have a great day out there as well, and join us again tomorrow for Morning Drive here live and local in your WTBR studio. I'm Sean Sayre, and have a great day out there. Take care, baby.